Okay, bist freigegeben.
Super. Dann mach ich kurz mal mein Handy auf Do Not Disturb. Und wir können ja dann loslegen, oder?
Hä?
Did you get that?
I'm so confused.
Also ich verstehe nur Bahnhof.
You only understand train station? It's all Greek to me.
Understanding train station. Living between cultures with Josh and Phelan.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode. My name's Josh.
With me
is my wonderful co-host.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that nice introduction. Yeah, as I said, I'm Feli. I think you heard it three times now. Welcome back to a new episode.
What was your name?
Feli.
Feli.
Yes, yeah, pretty much. You can just call me Felicia.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
bye, Felicia.
I know it's tough for you to pronounce my name.
So hard. No, it's so difficult.
That's my usual conversation. Do you ever struggle with your name in Germany, or like as soon as you say it, people get it?
No, people do not get it as soon as I say it. Mm. So a lot of people pick up on it relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people still say Josh. I'll introduce myself as Josh.
So even, really? Okay.
Yeah, I'll say, hi, ich bin der Josh. And they say, hi, Josh.
That's weird. Because, like, I did expect that if they just read your name that they would think Josh or Joshua or something.
Yeah.
Or Yoshi. But if you say it, it's really not that hard to repeat.
I don't know. I think we've talked about this before, but sometimes people think I'm saying, like, Schwash.
Yeah. Which is, like, the Bavarian version or nickname of Georg. So, George.
Yeah, exactly. So I think maybe that confuses people some. But no, a lot of people still say Josh. And like, if it's someone that I work with on a daily basis, then I'll correct them. Like, just be like, hey, and it's not that big of a deal, but just want you to know that I prefer going by Josh as opposed to Josh. Because I know that everyone can pronounce it. It's not a difficult,
exactly.
It's not a difficult
thing
to pronounce. It's just something that people aren't necessarily used to.
Yeah.
But yeah. You've given up that fight probably a long time ago at this point.
Maybe it's just because I consumed more like English-speaking media in my teenager years. But Josh is a pretty common name. Like even for a German, I feel like there's a lot of characters on movies and shows that have that name. And even in the German dubbed version, they will still say Josh, I feel like. They don't usually translate the name. So... interesting. Anyways.
I not to continue to talk about names, but they... I might be confusing because I'll introduce myself as Joshua as opposed to Joshua. So I don't know. Who knows? But yes.
Wait, so do you say, hi, ich bin Joshua?
Yes.
And then you say Josh? Or
not always. I mean, normally I would say just Josh.
Okay.
But sometimes if I say the full version instead of Joshua, I'll say Joshua.
Okay, so, well, maybe don't do that. Maybe just say Joshua.
But I really don't think that's the reason people are getting confused.
Probably not. But
wow, that was a lot of detail into the pronunciation of our names.
Names are a big thing. I think we mentioned that in the German-speaking episode before. Mm-hmm. But there is like a Facebook group of Germans who live in the U.S.
Yeah.
And there was a thread one time that I thought was super interesting because I never really thought about that, where a bunch of those Germans who have been living in the U.S. for like 20, 30, 40 years talk about their struggles with Americans having trouble pronouncing their names. And some of the names that I remember, again, I said this in the German-speaking episode, but I don't know if everyone listened to that or watched it with subtitles. Jutta, for example, was one of those, and like Mareike, I think, or it was one of those M names where like Jutta is J-U-T-T-A, for example, or Ute, U-T-E.
Yeah.
What did you want to say?
No, I wasn't sure if it was, you were saying Jutta or Jutta.
Jutta, yeah. Did I
or
say?
Jutta, yeah.
Yeah. J-U-T-T-A. So like
exactly.
Jutta in German, and an English speaker would probably say like
Jutta.
Jutta. Yeah, Jutta. So long story short, there are a lot of names, even though German and English do have a lot of names that exist in both languages. There are also a lot
like
of names
Kevin.
That don't. Yeah.
I think
for example.
That was the funniest thing for me. I feel like there are certain names that are common in Germany or relatively common in Germany that aren't German and are just so confusing when Germans, like Germans with German parents have these names.
Or Justin.
Like, yeah, Kevin. I've seen Jeremy. Another weird thing, and I don't know if this is an East German thing or if this is all of Germany.
I think it's more an East German thing.
But I've also seen like Enrico.
Okay, that one, I don't know if that one is an East German thing, but yeah.
For me, it's just funny. Like, what? You're German. Why is your name Enrico?
They like that it sounds exotic, I guess. Yes, I mean, it's a nice name. Nothing wrong with it. Also, nothing wrong with like naming your kid Justin in Germany. But that one's actually like Kevin, at least, is easy to pronounce.
Yeah.
But Justin has that same as in Josh, like the English J, for example, or Jeremy does. I don't think I've ever met like a German Jeremy. Have you? Because you just mentioned that name.
I just was thinking, there's a prospect of mine whose name is Jeremy. His first name is Jeremy. So I'm not sure if I haven't spoken to him yet.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure if he's actually like has some sort of English speaking background or not. But
because I was wondering, if your name is Jeremy in Germany, do you pronounce it with the German R or English R?
Jeremy?
I don't know, maybe. Which actually, we are not getting to our topic at all, but that's
not
normal.
At all.
But this just made me think of, in Munich, there is a daily newspaper called Abendzeitung. I mean, people in other parts of Germany know that too, I think, but it's definitely a Munich newspaper. It's more like Boulevard. Well, that's what we call it, Boulevardzeitung. So a little bit more like yellow press, but not super yellow. It's like a mix. It's like not the most
yellow
serious
press?
Like what do you call that in English? Like Boulevardzeitung versus like a serious newspaper, like more the where they have the big pictures and the boobs in Germany versus
like,
lots of text and
a little bit more,
serious
like a tabloid
journals. Tabloid, yes, thank you, that's the word I was looking for. So it's kind of like a medium tabloid slash also journalism newspaper. Anyways, my parents subscribed to that when I was growing up. So we got that every single day. And they always had a little comic on like the second page or something. And the character's name was Jeremy. that's the only time I think I've ever heard like Jeremy in a German speaking context.
That's funny. But yeah, names are a weird thing, no matter what country you're in. And like a name that can be completely normal in one country is very, very odd in another. So
yeah, and I mean, we've both struggled with this. That's exactly the reason why I, when I first started my YouTube channel, didn't even go by Feli, even though I do now. But I always said my name's Felicia because I didn't even want to have to explain it. And to this day, people sometimes message me or comment underneath my videos, even though now Feli is literally part of my channel name.
Yeah.
And it is in my intro. It's you see the channel name while watching the video on YouTube. People still comment, "Hi, Feli." Philly. It's like, yeah, so close.
Close, but no cigar.
No cigar?
Do you know? I was going to say, I was wondering if you knew that saying.
No.
Apparently it's a North American saying, I believe, but it comes back, or it goes back to like carnivals that used to travel around the country, and like you would have different games, and like it's similar to like at Oktoberfest where they have the shooting game. And if you win, then you get a prize. And I guess the prize used to oftentimes be a cigar. So if you got close, but didn't win, I guess the guy who was, or the person who was working at the booth would say, "Oh, close, but no cigar." And that's that's a saying then, close, but no cigar.
Interesting. Cool. Yeah. Again, what learned?
There was, there was a German, I'm trying to remember what it was. There was a German saying I learned recently too. I shouldn't have mentioned it because now I can't remember it, but...
Well, let us know next time you do remember it.
Yes.
But to actually get into the topic of today's episode, you already know, of course, because it's in the title. But we thought, after talking about university differences and like kind of a few deeper topics in our Q&A episode, and also I talked about deeper topics recently on my YouTube channel, I really wanted to just talk about something more lighthearted and
fluff,
also appropriate for the time of the year. And that topic is going to be summer. In Munich right now, summer break is officially on since the beginning of August. So my mom, for example, she works in a school setting. She's off right now. All the school kids are off right now for 6 weeks, which is nothing compared to the usual like 3 month summer break that Americans get. But yeah, that's why we thought, let's talk a little bit about how Germans and Americans spent their summer, what summer in Munich is like, what summer in Cincinnati is like, what traveling is like, what travel habits are like in the two countries, and just, give you a little insight into that beautiful topic of summer.
That beautiful time of year. And it's really a fitting time for us to talk about it too, because next Thursday I'll be traveling to the US for vacation. I'll be there for, I think, like 10 or 11 days, or I think 10 days. So I'm really excited to be able to experience some of the summer things that I grew up doing and that are very typical in Cincinnati to do. And the last time I was back home, it was colder out and I was working some. So I'm really excited of just having a chunk of time to relax and do the stuff that I miss. So this is great timing to be able to talk about it and increase the Vorfreude in mir. Wow.
What did you say?
I said Vorfreude in mir.
Oh my God. No, I did not hear that. So
Vorfreude, I meant to say Vorfreude. I did not mean to say in mir.
In mir, yeah. That happens to me sometimes too. Oh, the other day, quick little side story. We'll be right back into your little funny mistake. But I recorded something the other day where I had to switch between German and English like pretty quickly. And I was explaining German pronunciation. And it just, it's so difficult because like it was on a teleprompter, right? And like you just see that you're about to say a German word. And it would happen all the time. I needed so many tries that my brain would switch into German mode one or two words before the actual German word. And I would say those two English words before the German word with a German accent. And it's just so weird. Like, I think oil was one of the words. And I just said it super weirdly. I said, like, oil. I was like, oh my God, what was that, brain? What's going on? Anyways, that's what just happened to you. Your brain was still in German mode, but you were trying to switch back to English and then said German word with an English accent.
Now I have to say one other little anecdote. This is going to be so chaotic. But today at work, I was so confused for the longest time in a meeting because someone kept saying that, and we were speaking German. I'm wondering if we should have a certain seam is what I heard.
For seam?
Vielleicht sollten wir ein bestimmtes Seam für die Woche haben.
I know what they
mean.
And
I was like, what is he talking about? A seam? I mean, is there a German word that seam? Like, what is a seam? And then I realized, oh, theme. It's a theme.
Yeah, the classic German struggle with the English TH.
Yes. I mean, there's no problem with it. And it just was confusing because it was in a German sentence. So like I wasn't already used to hearing that specific German accent while speaking English. And I was like, a seam. What sort of seam are we going to have?
Yeah. When you just said it in English, I thought, wait, what do you mean? Like a seam, like on clothing, I thought.
Yeah. Anyway, long story short, there's a lot of anticipation that will hopefully come from this episode for me about my time in Cincinnati. But yeah, and I was putting together a list of like things that I did growing up and things that I did in my adult life in Cincinnati during the summers. I had first written like summer in the US, and then I realized, whoa, that's such an overgeneralization now that I'm thinking about it, because depending on where in the US you are, there's so many different things that you can do.
Your weather is going to be
exactly,
like.
Exactly, what the weather will be like, what the landscape is like. So, I mean, your options of what you can do are so different in the U.S. So then I changed it again in my list back to like summer in Cincinnati or summer in the Midwest. Because I think there are quite a few things that Cincinnati and the rest of the Midwest share as far as habits in the summer. So I'm looking forward to talking about this and then also about some of my experiences here.
Yeah, but before we get into that, let's introduce our sponsor, Lingoda. You already know them. It's a great way to learn another language or improve your language skills, especially if you still have travel plans coming up or want to travel in the future. Some of you might also travel to Germany for Oktoberfest. That's what I'm going to do. So that's going to be like mid-September to early October. And the Lingoda Sprint is an amazing way to improve your language skills relatively quickly, from small talk level to being able to have a real conversation. Within just 60 days, so 2 months, you can make that happen with either the Lingoda Sprint, which means that you take 15 classes a month for 2 months, so a total of 30 classes. So about every other day. And then if you do that and follow through with that, you can actually get 50% of your money back, or you can even do the super sprint, which is even more intense and therefore even more rewarding, both with your skills and also money-wise, because that means that you take 30 classes a month for 2 months. And if you do follow through with that, you can get 100% cash back.
So more than 45,000 people have actually already participated in the various Lingoda sprints. And I actually participated in it as well. And I can totally recommend it. One of the really cool things about it is it's such a concentrated period of time to learn. And you can grow so much in that period of time. So you just put in the effort and stay very, very dedicated for that period of time. And you'll really reap the benefits of your dedication. So maybe just to give you guys a little bit of an idea of some of the facts and figures, we'll say, of Lingoda. Over 100,000 students have been taught in four languages. So English, German, French, and Spanish from at least 171 countries. And they have 250 employees speaking 40 languages, and classes are taught 24/7 every day of the year. So if you are looking for a flexible program where you have lots of resources that you can pull upon, Lingoda is the place to go.
Yeah, and booking a class is super easy. It's online, as I said in the beginning, so it means you can do it from anywhere, anytime. They really have classes available 24/7. Every day of the year. So it really doesn't matter which time zone you're in. And if you book a class, you're just going to go to the website, scroll through the different, well, languages, of course, first. So you pick your language, German, English, business English, French, or Spanish. And then you pick your level. And then there are different topics that are either out of like everyday life, like going to a restaurant, or a grammar topic, or a specific vocabulary topic, or something like that. Also, depending on your level, you'll pick your topic and then it'll be a Zoom class. So like it's super easy. You'll automatically just get the Zoom link. Do the 60-minute lesson on Zoom, and then even after that, you'll still have access to additional exercises and homework. So you really get a lot of value and super high quality because the classes focus on human interaction and maximum conversation time, and they're all led by native-level teachers with a maximum of 5 students per class, or you can even do one-on-one lessons. So you'll get personalized feedback, you'll hear different native accents, you can ask all of your questions, and as I said, you get talking a lot, which is why it's so great to improve your conversational skills.
So if you all are interested in participating, make sure that you sign up using our voucher code, which is TRAINSTATION, which we'll link in the description box in the show notes of the podcast. And you can use the link as well. And you can get a discount on your deposit. It's either €20 or $25 when you use the voucher code TRAINSTATION. Just use the link and it'll be easiest. So yeah. Make sure you guys do that if you're interested, and on with the episode.
So, summer in Germany versus the US. So, my first question for you is actually,
yes,
how would you describe summer in Munich? So, now that you just said it, it's your second full summer in Munich. I know that you've also, for your internships before that, or your little shorter times that you spent in Munich, you were there during summer times too, partly, I think. Mm-hmm. But how would you describe it?
Relaxed.
Okay.
I think that's the best way to describe it. I think people are outside a ton. I think even during the week, like it's just, there's something about the Feierabend especially. So after work, just going out and enjoying the weather, enjoying the beautiful parks in the city, having a drink by the river, like that's just something that's so relaxed and so, I don't know, for me, it's really cool. And that's one thing that I really, really like about Munich. It's a completely different city in the summer than it is in the winter, especially for me since I moved here right in the middle of the pandemic. So in the winter, there were a lot more restrictions than there normally are, obviously. So there was less to do in the winter. But the streets are filled, very full. People are out. I would say relaxed is the word that comes to mind. And I think people, relaxed in nature. People just really like to be outside and really use the green spaces and the third spaces in the city as their second home. And I think that's one really cool thing to be able to experience. Like I know there's a part of town where people go and dance like Latin dances, or like I love taking a stroll through the Hofgarten, and you'll see people inside of like the pavilion there dancing to like an accordion player, or I don't know, there's just something very, very, I don't know if romantic is the word, but just something very ideal or idyllic about summer in Munich is at least my perception of it and the way I see it. But yeah, I don't know if you would agree with that. How do you feel about summer in Munich?
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with that. I would say also there are definitely
tourists.
Also very stressful
lots of tourists.
Parts. Yeah, I was going to say not even just tourists, but what you just said is very true. People are outside a lot. And I almost feel like if you've never experienced it, a good way to describe it is that I feel like it's like an intrinsic drive that Germans have that as soon as the weather is nice, you have to do something outside. And it's like people almost sometimes stress about it too. Like, but the sun is going to go down in an hour. I have to get out now. Like, and they like try to rush places. And it's also idyllic 100% and people are relaxed. But for example, if you try to go to a very popular place, a popular beer garden or a popular Freibad, like an outdoor, like a swimming pool, it can get also stressful. And even in the English garden, for example, when you say idyllic and relaxed, it sounds like, like there's just so much space and everyone's just chilling. No. But there's no space, for example, like when it's a hot day, especially on the weekends. But as you said, even during the week, if it's a hot day in Munich, everyone will go to water. All the lakes, the Eisbach, the Isar, the river that we have in Munich, it's all going to be crowded. So like if you're looking for a spot right by the water, good luck with that.
I guess that I'm glad you said that because obviously, I mean, I have a little bit of rose-colored glasses on when it comes to it. But like I like being around people and I like the city vibe. So for me, that is idyllic. And like people listening to music and playing games in the park, like that gives me life. And that's what I really enjoy. But you're right. It can be very, very full. So if you're looking for a nice little picnic by the river, ain't going to happen. Or very, very unlikely. You might have to go further out of the city to try to find something like that.
Right. Or just further away from the water. Like in the English garden, for example, you'll always be able to find a spot because it's a huge park. But especially right by the water, it'll just be cramped. So like for American space standards, you'll be right next to a stranger, basically. Yeah. But what you said is 100% how I view it, too. Like, I enjoy that. I like how vivid it gets and how, you know, everyone's just kind of there with their friends and enjoying life. And as you said, there's music and people play all these different games and drink beer and, you know, play, I don't know, drinking games and spike ball and soccer and volleyball and, you know, all those things. Grill out oftentimes too. I do enjoy that personally, but I do know that also for some people that can be a stressful experience. Especially if you're like, I'm just gonna go to the pool real quick, and then you're in line for 30 minutes because everyone is going to the pool real quick.
See, that's actually something that I haven't done in Munich, is gone to like a Freibad.
You don't really have to.
Exactly, and that's what I was gonna say. There's so much water in the city. Like I guess it was 2 weeks ago at this point. On a Sunday, just being able to go lay by the Isar, like super chill. It was so nice. And like in Cincinnati, in comparison, you don't really have really nice bodies of water that you would want to necessarily get in the water just to enjoy the water itself.
Yeah, so that's the river that, that goes through Cincinnati, the Ohio River, is not a river that you want to
I mean, first of all, it's really big. So it would be kind of dangerous to swim in it. And then secondly, it's quite dirty. So you, just by looking at it, you're never going to come upon the idea of, let's jump in.
Yeah. But people take their boats, but like people don't really swim in that river.
Exactly.
In Munich, however, people do swim in the Isar.
For sure. Yeah. And there's so many lakes close by that if I think, I want to go swim, I don't necessarily want to go to a crowded man-made pool when there are beautiful lakes nearby where I can swim and enjoy nature more.
Yeah, exactly. The swimming pools, I think, in my experience, it's more like either people who like to swim laps, which I personally do like to do. So like even as an adult, I would sometimes go to the pool for that so that I could just swim my laps. Yeah. And I also personally, I'm not a big fan of lakes when it comes to swimming. Mm. I like being by a lake and by water. I like rivers more than that. But like I would never swim laps in a lake. Being in a lake makes me uncomfortable because I don't know what's underneath me. So like, especially when you have like your swim goggles on and you like look down, I can't do that in a lake. So that's
really?
Just like a personal, no, that scares me.
Okay.
Like, because you can't see really in most lakes, or even if you can see, there's like fish and I don't know, for some reason, I can't really do that. So, but also with kids, like a lot of families go to Freibäder, so like to pool areas. I mean, there's other kids in lakes too, but the pools are safer, of course, for kids to swim in. You don't constantly have to watch that they don't go in the deep end.
Yeah.
there's water slides, there's usually, you know, a playground, other stuff there to do.
Yeah, it can be more entertaining for children.
Yeah, depends on the lake, though. Like, there's amazing lakes. Like, people take their kids to the lake, too. But Freibad can just be kind of like this next level excitement for many kids. It's like, oh, I get to go to the Freibad. Like, that's like a thing that families do a lot. So
for sure.
Yeah.
I think also one thing that I really enjoy, and you, I was thinking of this when you said, as soon as there's a little bit of sun, the Germans love to go out and, like, they feel like they have to go take advantage. So you'll go to a park and you'll see like this little sliver of sun and all of the Germans are sitting there. Another thing that I really enjoy about Munich, and I think is funny too about the Germans here at least, is the same thing that goes with getting outside is getting ice cream. As soon as the temperature allows it, oh, wir gehen jetzt ein Eis holen. Like, let's go get some ice cream. And that's I live near a couple ice cream parlors and the lines are always so long, even in like March when it's not necessarily like summer weather, but if there's a little bit of sun, the ice cream shops will be open and people will be lined up. And that's something that I really like, because I like the ice cream here and I just like ice cream in general. So
I just wanted to say something real quick about ice cream, because I made a video about that at one point, I think 2 years ago on my channel. I can link that for you guys. But there's a difference between ice cream in the U.S., or at least your go-to ice cream in the U.S., and your go-to ice cream in Germany. In Germany, it's usually gelato, so more like the Italian-style ice cream, which is a little bit less, I think, fatty, if I remember correctly, because, like, there's a difference in the ingredients. But, from what you can tell, it's usually just a little bit softer.
Yeah.
From the beginning, you don't have to wait for it to like melt. And usually we don't have like the American flavors, like peanut butter or something, even though that is coming to Germany more and more. I know that a lot of ice cream places do have those cookie dough and whatever flavors now. But growing up for me, it was like, you know, all your fruit flavors and your chocolate and vanilla and stracciatella, which isn't really a thing in the U.S. It's like, or did you know stracciatella?
No, I didn't. I mean, for me, the closest thing is like chocolate chip.
Chocolate chip. It's just a little bit different. I think it's just the Italian version of that. But yeah, ice cream in Germany is definitely a big thing as soon as the sun is out. Yep.
One thing that's funny, I hadn't thought about this, but you're right. A lot of those American flavors that you'll find in the U.S., like Moose Tracks or whatever it may be, you don't find them here. And I was just talking to one of my coworkers today about how I'm looking forward to going back to the U.S. because I love the ice cream here, but I also love the ice cream in the U.S. and I miss like the American ice cream too. I've talked about milkshakes before. I love milkshakes, and I'm looking forward to some good milkshakes in the U.S. But I was telling her about Dairy Queen and Blizzard, how you can get a Blizzard there. I don't know if you've been there before, Phoebe.
I have not. I know Dairy Queen, and like I know what a Blizzard is, but I've never had it.
But one of my favorite things is a Reese's Cup Blizzard. And I was telling my coworker about this today, and she actually just sent me a picture. I guess she must have been near a Five Guys, and Five Guys here in Munich has a Reese's Cup milkshake. So I definitely have to go check it out to see how there it compares. But yes. That for sure, the ice cream is a big difference as well. Do you have anything else to add to any of the comments I made? Because then I want to ask the same question to you, because now you've been in Cincinnati for what, 6 summers?
Hold on. I don't think I spent every summer here, but I think I was always here partly during the summer. Because like, at least to me, from a German perspective, summer goes until at least mid-September. Whereas I feel like when Americans speak of summer, a lot of American listeners probably think that summer is almost over, because like in many parts of the country, school is about to start again, which in Germany, I feel like August is like your main summer month. Like summer is not over. So like a lot of times I would get here like mid-August or like in August, which is still summer for me. So
I think most Americans would say that like Labor Day, which I forget exactly when it is. It's sometime in September.
The first Monday of September.
Yeah, the first Monday of September is kind of the official end of summer. That's when most of the pools close, which is kind of like the indicator for the end of summer. But yeah, so if you don't have anything else to add to my comments about Munich, I'm sure we'll get back into some of the details later.
Yeah, only thing to add, honestly, when I think of it, is like bikers or cyclists, like people riding their bikes everywhere. And it gets to a point where it's insane traffic just from people on their bikes. Like, for example, my street that I live on, where I grew up in Munich, it's a direct connection to two lakes in the area. Mm-hmm. So in the summertime, like, we never had bad car traffic there. Like, it wasn't a dangerous street to live on as a kid. But in the summer, you had really bad bike traffic there. Like, you couldn't even, like, if you wanted to go out on the street, you had to look three times because there's going to be some biker or someone on their, like, rollerblades or whatever other device coming around the corner super fast. So that is a real thing. And also bike traffic jams.
For sure. The city. And one thing also, now that you're talking about it, is people going on like a Fahrrad tour, but like long distance ones. I have a friend who went from Munich to Venice. One of my coworkers went from Munich to Croatia. Like people will go on really long. It's not like obviously everyone, but that's something that I don't know from the US or at least the Midwest. Is people doing those type of bike trips. So that's also kind of a cool thing that I want to do. I think I'm going to bring my nice bike from the US to Germany on this next trip so I can hopefully do one of those trips, weather permitting, either still this year sometime or next year.
Yeah, and even just day trips with your bike is also a big thing, where you just like plan a tour, like a route somewhere where you have different stops, like at a lake, for example, or beer gardens or something. And then from there, though, like you have like this destination or several destinations. But then instead of driving there, you take your bike all the way home. Like, that's a very popular thing to do.
I think one thing I really want to do is do a trip from Passau to Vienna. Like, that's definitely... definitely on my list. Yes, but it's all along the Danube the whole way. So I think that would be really cool. But yeah.
That's cool. The longest bike tour I've ever done was from Munich to Garmisch-Partenkirchen, which is like, I don't know how many kilometers, but it's like a little bit over an hour by car. So we did, that was like just a one day thing.
Yeah.
But that's the craziest thing I've done.
But yeah, so how would you describe summer in Cincinnati?
Okay, so I would definitely describe it differently than summer in Munich, because I feel like this whole urge to go outside as soon as it's warm or sunny out just does not exist. I feel like it's sometimes almost the opposite, that people like to stay inside more the hotter it gets, which makes sense because of the climate difference. So in Munich, you can't really rely on nice summer weather. This year it's been pretty hot, but there's also been summers where, like, you have, you know, no real summer weather at all. And it's definitely not something that is there consistently for 3 months at a time. It's more something like you'll have 2 weeks of a heat wave and then it goes back to being rainy or colder. So it's pretty inconsistent, which I think makes sense why Germans then, as soon as it does get nice, want to take advantage of it, because you never know if it's going to get like that again.
Yeah.
Whereas here in Cincinnati, at least from all the years that I've spent here, I feel like it's a pretty consistent hot weather, and it gets extremely hot and extremely humid, which makes the heat even more, what's the word
intense.
I'm looking for? Intense, yeah. Sometimes unbearable. Where, like, I think this year it was a little bit late, but I feel like usually from, like, end of April, early May, all the way through, like, the fall, like, I remember a Halloween even where it was still 25 degrees Celsius, which is, like, I don't know, 80 degrees Fahrenheit or something like that, where, like, at the end of October it was still basically summer weather. So I would say all the way into at least early October it stays hot. And of course it's not always sunny every single day. There's also lots of thunderstorms here and rain, but it's definitely something where, like, I know, okay, for the next 6 months pretty much, it's gonna be hot a lot, the sun is gonna be out a lot, and it's gonna be very humid all the time. And I think that also plays into, like, how people approach it, because of course if it's like that for 6 months straight, you do enjoy being inside in the AC and not sweating your ass off every single time, because that's what the humidity does to you. Is like, even when you sit outside in a restaurant, you're just sweating sitting there, which is not
miserable.
Yeah, it's not really something that I experienced a lot in Munich, because it doesn't get that humid. So that's the first difference that I think of, is just like the mindset, the mentality to go about summer is just not really like that. And just in general, even when the weather is nicer, as in fall or spring weather, where it's not that hot yet, and Cincinnatians at least, maybe Americans in general, maybe Midwesterners, don't have that mentality as much, that they want to go outside all the time and as much as they can. Like, there's so many amazing parks in the area that even on a perfect spring day are completely empty. Or not completely empty. There's a few people
but
there.
Very empty.
Just, very empty considering how many people do live in the area. So yeah, planning things around being outside is just not really something that I think is the focus that people mm-hmm. have. People do spend time outside, but not necessarily to be outside as much, I feel like.
Yeah.
But with that being said, summer in Cincinnati, to me, the first things that come to mind is definitely pools. And that's something that you said earlier, because that is something that I absolutely love about here. And I think just American standards is that there's things like neighborhood pools or like apartment yeah. complex pools. And that's just not something that exists in Germany. So these are pools that you can access for free if you live in that neighborhood or in that apartment complex. And a lot of people have that in the suburbs, for example, mm-hmm. where like your neighborhood has a community pool. And
yeah.
everyone can go there. And it's a nice pool, usually not like crazy with like crazy water slides, but just well-kept pool. I think sometimes there's even like a little house attached to it, or I don't know, you would have to explain that.
I was going to say in the neighborhood that I grew up in, it was a relatively big neighborhood. So we mm-hmm. had a pretty big pool complex. We actually had three pools. There was like the main pool that was a lap that had lanes that you could swim laps. It mm-hmm. also had a diving board in that pool. So that was like where the deep end was.
See, yours was fancy then, yeah.
Then there was a smaller pool next to it, which is more of like your standard neighborhood pool. And then they had a kiddie pool as well. And then they had mm-hmm. a clubhouse. So if you lived in the neighborhood, you could also rent out the clubhouse for various events. So if you wanted, it was very common for people to celebrate their birthdays at the neighborhood pool. And then you would rent out the clubhouse and you could like have the party space inside with air conditioning and whatnot. Where you could like have the cake and then the kids can swim in the pool. And one thing that was really common too was to have like pool parties, or like the neighborhood pool would put on various events. So I remember like one event that they did is they put soda cans in the pool, and like the kids could then dive down to the bottom and get free drinks and like that type of stuff at the pool.
That's super cool. Yeah, see, I wish I had that as a kid. I think this is just also a space problem 100%, where like in Munich, I knew maybe two people who had a pool, but that was definitely a luxury thing. So a lot of people also in the US, of course, have their private pools in their backyard, which is also a thing. So like a lot of people have friends who have a pool that you can go to, or you have a pool yourself. But those neighborhood pools are definitely a really cool thing as well. So like I think most of the times that I've been to a pool in the US, I didn't have to pay anything for it, because it was someone's neighborhood pool. Like yours, for example, you had one at the one place you lived at in
Cincinnati. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, it was a very small pool, but even like a small apartment complex, it's kind of one of the main amenities that people look for when they're looking for apartments is, oh, do they have a pool? Do they have a fitness center?
Yeah.
And where are the washing machines?
Yeah. So I think of that. I think of barbecues or mm-hmm. Cookouts, which of course also take place outside. And I think of kayaking. You also wrote that down in your notes.
Yeah.
I saw so kayaking, canoeing. I feel like that's one of the main things that I have done with friends here when it comes to like swimming in natural waters is mm-hmm. most of the times it was like with a kayak more, where like you'd also go in the water, but you're mostly just in your kayak or canoe.
Yeah.
And or like people get rafts or something like that, so like Schlauchboote or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily just being at some kind of beach and swimming.
Maybe just to give a little context to, like, we talked earlier about the Ohio River, which is a really big river that you don't want to swim in because it's so dirty and it can be kind of dangerous with how big it is. There are also two rivers that go north into Cincinnati as well. And they're smaller, calmer rivers. So when we're talking about kayaking or canoeing, it's not whitewater rafting or whitewater kayaking. It's very, very chill. Like,
it's more like a lazy river in a pool. Like, it's
exactly.
like, you know, it goes relatively slowly most of the times. And you can basically just chill in it. And so I've even been on kayak trips where like the current was so little
yeah.
that you had to paddle the entire
yeah.
time.
I was going to say most of the time I feel like if you don't want to spend literally all day on the river, then you kind of have to paddle yourself. So
yeah.
it's a really chill activity, because I feel like
yeah.
a lot of people associate, oh, you're kayaking on a river, it's going to be more rough.
True.
But no, it's
it's more, and canoeing is literally a term for going on a trip, a kayaking trip with your friends and bringing alcohol. So like that's what people do. Like it's such a chill activity, and the water most of the time isn't very deep either in those rivers. Yeah. I think in most of those parts you can stand. But people, they give you a life vest. So usually how it works is that most people don't own their own kayaks. Of course, some people mm-hmm. have their own ones too. But there's like these, what do you call them?
Rental places. Yeah, rental places.
Yeah, where you just book like your 4-hour tour or something like that. And then they give you the kayak, they give you the paddle, they give you the life vest. And then they get you on a van or a truck, and then they drive you to like the drop-off point for that 4-hour tour. And then that's where you start. And then basically you go down the river with your friends until you're back at their main location. And that's where you get out of the river. And people bring their speakers to listen to music, their beer. As I said, a lot of people bring like big coolers.
So now, I don't think that, just as a disclaimer, I don't think drinking on the water is technically legal, but it's a very common thing that people do.
It happens.
Yes.
Maybe it's not legal, but people do bring their coolers. I mean, of course, you can also have non-alcoholic drinks in those. Yes. And because it is important if you're in the sun for 4 hours straight with no shade most of the time, you do need to hydrate. So yeah, it's like a whole thing where you just bring a bunch of stuff and you just chill, and then every now and then you can get out on the side, or like these
like a little lake.
What do you call the gravel banks? Like, so in a sandbank,
you could call it a sandbank.
Yeah, but they're usually not sand where we are, I think, most of the time.
Gravel,
are they?
A gravel bank. It's just like the little
Islands.
Yeah.
Or you can just pull over and chill, take a break. People stay there for a while, then they get back on their kayaks. And that's like a thing that I personally had never done in Munich, because I don't even think we have a river that's that slow in Munich where you could do that.
I also just wanted to explain the name Kabrewing briefly, because I've had to explain that a couple times here when I've talked about it. So obviously it comes from canoeing, but a slang term for an alcoholic drink is like a brew or a brewski. So it's a combination of the two words, Kabrewing. For those of you who were wondering where the name comes from.
Is brew or brewski for all alcoholic drinks?
I think it's mostly beer.
Yeah, that's what I always thought.
Yeah. It's mostly a beer. Or it really is just a beer.
Comes from to brew a beer, right?
Like exactly.
Brown. Yeah. But most people don't do canoes, because like on a canoe, I mean, some people do it, but on a canoe you sit like higher, and kayaks are a little bit more chill. You're like kind of more leaning back and sitting in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
anything else? I was going to say, is there anything else about Cincinnati summers that you would describe?
I'm trying to think. Honestly, just a lot of sweating, and just in general in the U.S., a lot of layers, because it's going to be so insanely hot outside, but everywhere you go inside, you're going to be freezing if you wear your outside short clothes, because the AC is going to be on full blast everywhere. So that's my summer experience, is like wherever I go in the summer, I'm going to be sweating my ass off outside, and it's going to be so humid and hard to like breathe. But then as soon as I go inside, I have to put on a cardigan or a sweater or something like that. But no, I love Cincinnati summers. Like, I love that, you know, I kind of have that vacation feeling here a lot, because that's how it would be going on vacation for me growing up. Because in Munich, you had like a week or two like that where the nights were even so warm that you could just be outside in your shorts and your T-shirt. But in a lot of cases, the nights get colder. So for me, like having these warm nights is kind of what makes me think of vacation in Southern Europe somewhere, right? Like that's kind of that association that I have. And that's what I always have in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Like there really aren't a lot of nights throughout the summer where you have to bring any additional clothing if you're outside. If you're inside, that's a different story. Yeah. But I think that's just what it is. There's lightning bugs here, fireflies, which... we don't really have a whole lot in Germany.
I was going to say, I saw some for the first time this year. And there were just a few. But like, I was thinking when you were talking about warm nights, me growing up, our neighborhood was relatively close. We were close with our neighbors. And we used to like have bonfires in the back, and the kids would play capture the flag in the dark. And then you can catch fireflies.
Yeah. So that's something that I associate with here more because it's not a super typical thing in Germany. I think every time I did see one in Germany, it was like a super special thing. Like, oh my God, look. And Glühwürmchen is what they're called in German, a glowing worm.
Yeah, a glowing little worm.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else, but I feel like those are pretty much the things that come to mind. And what we said about being outside, I still have that a little bit inside of me. Germans in the summer, when they go out to eat or to a bar, they love sitting in the outside mm-hmm. areas. Not a lot of people want to be inside when the weather is nice, whereas like I feel like that's not the same here. Like when we're in a group or something like that, I'm often the one person that's like, hey, but it's so nice out. Like, don't mm-hmm. you want to sit outside this time? And in a lot of cases, people don't want to do that because they're too hot and they'd rather be inside. And I think that's kind of a difference there too, where I feel like your outside areas aren't as busy and crowded.
I was going to say, I hope it's okay that I'm just adding my two cents to these topics.
Yeah, 100%.
Topics,
I'm pretty much done. I'm just babbling.
I think there might be two reasons to why that might be the case in the U.S. Number one being that here in Germany, it's oftentimes the case that the restaurants don't necessarily have AC, so it's actually hotter inside than it is outside, is at least my perception. And a lot of restaurants... It depends on the restaurant.
I feel like most buildings, or that's at least my perception, are very well insulated usually, so that mm-hmm. depending on where they're located, they're usually still cooler in the summer if it's like 30 degrees Celsius, but might not always be the case.
The second thing that I was going to mention, and it depends on where you're going out to eat, but especially where I grew up in suburbia, the outdoor spaces, they normally just look at parking lots because the parking lots mm-hmm. are so big. So it's not really necessarily a nice view. You don't see people walking by, or you don't really feel like you're in a city per se. It's just you're looking out at a parking lot, so that's not necessarily what people want while they're eating. So I think those might be two reasons, but I would agree with what you're saying.
What are the things that come to your mind when you think of summer in Cincinnati and growing up here?
Ooh, I think that's a good question. I think I agree with a lot of what you said, hot. I don't think I really realized how humid Cincinnati can be until I moved here. And now that you were talking about humidity, I was like, yeah, it's hot here, but it's not the sticky, humid. Like, I mean, you know how much I sweat, Faye. And Cincinnati in the summer is not a good place for me because it's so humid.
Yeah, you sweat easily. When I first arrived in Cincinnati in the summer, it was August mm-hmm. of 2016, right? It was like right in the middle of that climate. I had been to Thailand the previous year, and I felt like it was just like Thailand, like just as humid.
Yeah.
I still think that. So yeah, it's pretty much like tropical humidity here.
It can be pretty intense. I think some other things to add, there are a lot of holidays and events that are fun, like 4th of July is obviously in the summer. So I remember going to various parades and like street festivals too. Like for example, Red, White, and Blue Ash is the name of one of the festivals in Cincinnati, because there's a part of Cincinnati called Blue Ash where it's kind of a street festival where you can eat food. I feel like there are a lot of street festivals in Cincinnati. There's a thing called Taste of Cincinnati, where they shut down part of the downtown area and set up food stands. So like that type of stuff. There are obviously, I'm trying to remember if it was this, if it's the summer or the fall, but there are a lot of Catholic festivals, put on by Catholic churches. So like with games and drinks and food and whatnot.
Also these food festivals, like there's like an Italian fest over across the river in Newport, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. There's a Geta fest.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. so like those are like, yeah, as you said, lots of little street festivals mm-hmm. or big street festivals.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else there is. Kind of in the same vein as talking about 4th of July, I feel like there are a lot of fireworks that go on throughout the city in the summer, like 4th of July fireworks, Memorial Day fireworks, Labor Day fireworks as well. There are lots of fireworks that you can go see. I'm trying to think what else. True. And let me look at my list.
I want to add real quick that I feel like both street festivals and fireworks are also a thing in Munich. Like there are also a lot of street festivals in Munich throughout the summer, like the street life. I don't know if they have that right now or if it's still COVID restrictions or whatever. Not restrictions, but if they haven't picked it back up. But that was usually a thing that would take place twice, I think in July and then again in September on the Leopoldstrasse. So like pretty big. And
yeah, there was a street festival. Now that I didn't go, I was a little confused why the street was closed. I think I was somewhere else in the coming home. But yeah, there was a street festival.
Yeah, then there were always street festivals on the Türkenstrasse, close to the university.
I don't think there have been any of that this year that I've seen.
Yeah, and then other neighborhoods, like for example, my neighborhood growing up, they would have a street festival once throughout the summer as well, like just in the neighborhood. So like that's definitely also a thing in Germany. And so are fireworks, not for holidays, because like our main firework day of the year is Silvester, so New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. But there are things in the Olympiapark, for example, yeah. Where there's events.
They have Tollwood.
Yeah, and I think they even have weekly or biweekly fireworks in the Olympiapark throughout the summer.
Really?
And I don't know. Again, I don't know if they're having it this year or last year, but usually as part of the, what's it called? The like Sommer im Olympiapark, where they have like the little carnival set up. I don't know if they have that right now, but they usually would have that with like rides and stands and stuff like that. And they would have fireworks by the lake. And then they also had the Sommernachtstraum recently, which is a big event with concerts and fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
The Tollwood, which is also just another, like there's a lot of these festivals going on that are like 2 weeks long or something like that, with concerts and booths and arts and rides and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. There were two things I was going to add. I grew up kind of near an amusement park. So there were always fireworks from the amusement park every single night. So I knew when it turned 10 at night because you would hear the fireworks.
Yeah.
It was like a church bell, but it was fireworks. And then also there's a big music venue in Cincinnati as well. So a lot of people in the summer go to like country music festivals there, or just any other festivals as well. There's is it Bunbury? Is that the name of it?
I don't know if that took place this year either.
I didn't see anything on
lost track of reality, but like, yeah, Bunbury is like the big Cincinnati music festival. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that, maybe two other things to add in addition to those. I also remember going to baseball games. Like that's a big thing in the summer is just to go at least once a year. I would go, and I'm not a big baseball person myself, but it's just kind of an event of going either opening day or,
That's huge in Cincinnati specifically.
Yeah.
Opening day is like the opening of the baseball season. That's usually in what, March or April, something like that.
I think so.
So yeah, most people would probably know, but that is just a huge thing for Cincinnatians, particularly where like people take the day off and stuff like that and go to the parade.
And I think probably some of the history is the fact that Cincinnati had the first professional baseball team in the country. So it's kind of in the city's blood, if you
tradition.
Yeah. So yeah, going to a baseball game, it's always so miserably hot, but it's still fun. You go,
it's like 4 hours long or something like that.
But it's still fun, and it's kind of just like one of those things that you do because it's a summer activity.
Absolutely.
And then the last thing I was going to add, and this is comes a little bit more from a privileged position because obviously not everyone has one of these, but lake houses. They're a huge thing if. In the area. So kind of all throughout the Midwest, we have a lot of lakes. So it's not uncommon for you to have a friend who has a lake house. So going to lake houses and like being invited by your friends to go to their lake house is always a plus, we'll say. It's always really nice. Or going camping as well. But going to lake houses and people having boats and like doing wakeboarding on lakes. And we talked about how there are lakes here in Germany and it's common to go to lakes and swim on the lakes. A lot of these lakes that I'm talking to are more private. So like they're kind of surrounded by private homes.
You just said these lakes that I'm talking to.
Oh my gosh.
How do you communicate with your lakes, Josh?
My brain isn't working right now. These lakes that I'm talking about are more, they're more private. So it's not like you get droves of people going there to swim. So I had a couple friends who had lake houses that we could go to, and that's also like typical summer for me.
Yeah. I was going to say that earlier, in addition to the kayaking, like going on boats and like owning a boat is a very common thing, not just in this area, but I feel like all over the country. If you go to your typical like American suburban neighborhoods, you'll see a lot of boats and driveways.
Yeah, you're right. I hadn't thought about that, but
Yeah, of course, that's like also not something that everyone can afford. But I think it's more common and more affordable here than it is in Germany. Because like, at least in the Munich area, if you go to the lakes in the Munich, like outside of Munich, if you have a house there, you're rich, rich. Like if you have lake access, you're rich, rich. And like having a friend like that is not super common, or at least I didn't have a friend. I know that like I knew someone, for example, where like their swim team had a house there that like the whole team or the whole club could use, for example. That's already like luxury. But so therefore, not a lot of people have a boat that they just drive to the lake every weekend or something like that. Because I mean, there people do have boats and they do have them by the lakes, but I know that the fees are extremely high. And I think in a lot of cases, you have to be part of some kind of yacht club or something like that. Don't quote me on it. I'm sure there's, I literally know nothing about the matter because I don't know anyone who has a boat, but I just know that it's more of an exclusive thing. Whereas here, going on a boat is such a normal thing. And I know that a lot of people also for Memorial Day and 4th of July and those kinds of holidays, everyone invites their friends onto their boat, and then people do go onto the Ohio River, for example, with a boat, like a motorboat, not a kayak necessarily. But
I think another thing to add in regards to boats and kind of the expenses that come with it, I'm not an expert in this area, so please correct me in the comments if I'm wrong. But I don't think, depending on the size of the boat in the US, you need a specific license to be able to drive it. It's relatively easy to rent a boat without a boating license. Whereas in Germany, I think you can still rent boats without a license, but only to a certain size. And I know that it's very important to have a boating license in Germany. Another thing that isn't a thing as far as I know in the US is like a Anhängerführerschein. So having to have an extra license to be able to drive with something like, how do we call it in English? An Anhänger.
A trailer.
Yeah, exactly. Drive around with a trailer. So like being able to take your boat somewhere. I have never heard of anyone having to do some sort of extra certification to be able to drive around with their boat connected to their car. I think that's just...
I'm not sure. Do you always have to have that in Germany? I'm not even 100% positive about that.
I'm not sure about the details. I just know that one of my coworkers recently did his Anhängerführerschein.
Okay.
And that's when I realized it's even a thing.
Yeah. I know that it's a thing too. I'm just not sure if you always have to have it, but I'm sure many of our viewers know that, or we could also Google it real quick, but why don't you just tell us in the comments? Because I'm sure, that's very detailed in Germany, what you can do with which license.
Yeah.
But
so maybe that goes into into some of the reasons why it's less common here. It was just a thought of mine. Like I said, it could be completely wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think also just, of course, we've been speaking about summer in Munich and summer in Cincinnati specifically, because those are the experiences that we've had. And I think Munich is also just such an expensive area, especially when you go to the lakes and the little towns outside of Munich. Those are usually where the rich people then move to after they become rich. So I think that's also maybe not the most representative experience from my childhood, because as I said, that was just not something that the everyday person would have access to. But yeah, is there anything else about summer in Cincinnati that we need to mention?
I'm trying to think. I don't think there's anything that's coming to mind right now. Just hot.
Very hot. I think we've established that. Yeah. I'm actually very hot right now.
And then people.
My AC's off right now.
And then people not being hot enough, so they decide, let's drive to Florida.
Yeah. So with that, actually, let's move over to traveling, because I feel like that is another big topic when it comes to summer, especially for Germans, but also, of course, for Americans. How often do you travel? Who travels? How long can you travel for? Where do you travel to? So let's maybe start with the US, because you just said Florida. So like a lot of Americans, of course, when they do travel, don't even have to leave the country.
Yeah. And I think it's I would say it's relatively uncommon to leave the country for vacation. And if you do, it's normally you're going to Mexico or like on a cruise. But when it comes to like the people that were in my environment growing up, most people went south in the US by car. Mm-hmm. If you were able to fly somewhere, I always felt like, ooh, you're fancy flying somewhere for vacation. But in my case, I felt like most people would drive to Florida or like on the Gulf of Mexico. So like Alabama, all of those states that are on the Gulf of Mexico. And then also, I'd say like two of the big destinations were Florida and South Carolina, but specifically Hilton Head. Hilton Head, South Carolina is a huge destination, at least for Cincinnatians. I don't know about other people, but it's a very touristy part of South Carolina. And that's where a lot of people would go.
Yeah. So a lot of people would go to the east part or east coast.
Exactly. Yeah. Just so you know where South Carolina is, it's on the east coast of the US, but the southern east coast. So even hotter, even more humid, and on the ocean. So
yeah,
a lot of people,
that's the good part about
exactly, that's what I was going to say is most people try to get to the, if you can get to the water. So, drive to the ocean is a pretty big thing.
How long is the drive from Cincinnati to Florida?
Obviously it depends on where in Florida you're going. Yeah. And I don't want to tell anything that's not, or say anything that's not accurate. So I'm going to look it up real quick.
Because I think it's like, what, like 20 hours or something like that? Or is it like 12 hours? It's definitely a long drive for German standards.
Let's see. Cincinnati.
I mean, of course, if you count until you first hit Florida, that's not usually where people stay.
Exactly. I'll just say, for example, Cincinnati to Orlando. Mm-hmm. Orlando is relatively in the middle of Florida. And it's where a lot of people go because that's where the amusement parks are. So Disney World and Universal, exactly. Thank you. And SeaWorld, which I loved growing up, but not so much now after watching Blackfish. So if you were to just drive straight through, according to Google, it's 13 hours, but it's much, much longer than that. With all of the stops and going through Atlanta is very hectic. There's always so much traffic getting through Atlanta. So like what my family would do is we would try to get through Atlanta on the first day and then sleep somewhere south of Atlanta and then drive the rest of the way the following day and split it up that way. And maybe just to give some reference as well, from Cincinnati to Hilton Head, which was the other place that I mentioned, it's a 10-hour drive according to Google Maps, which obviously gets closer to like a 12-hour drive. So yeah, like those are the, I would say the two main places that people from Cincinnati tend to go. Let me know if you're from Cincinnati and I just was completely wrong, but maybe Feli, also from your experience and talking to people, I think you would probably generally agree with me.
Florida is like the main destination, 100%. And then, I mean, I've also been to Myrtle Beach one time with you.
Yeah, Myrtle Beach is also huge.
Which is also in South Carolina. And then, I've been to Florida, to Fort Myers Beach one time. So like those vacations are really weird for me. Not weird in a bad sense, but they don't necessarily even feel like a typical vacation because for me, summer vacation growing up, of course, meant going to a foreign country where like everything's different. But this is really just everything stays the same. I mean, Florida is a little bit different. Of course, you have like minor cultural differences. And yeah, of course, like landscape is going to look different. People are going to be a little bit different. Some places are going to like chains or whatever, or stores are going to be
different. I was
going to
say, that was the big thing for me. Like the stores were different. Like they have Piggly Wiggly in the South. Like, what was that?
But for the most part, it doesn't feel like you're in a different country because you're not, right? Like you're not in a different country. Everyone speaks the same language. Yeah. Everything, at least from a European point of view, it's still so much alike that it really feels the same, except you have the beach and the ocean and everything. So, and to me, like going to those places, at least it's I don't want to call it boring because it's what you make of it, but it's more like these artificially created vacation spots where like you have these arcades. Like people don't go there because you can do so much. Like if you go to Italy, they don't need to artificially create anything. You have like the beach and you have all the antiquity and you have like a cute little town if you're somewhere by the beach that is actually old and has actual culture. And like they'll have like a bunch of like stores that are targeted towards tourism. But like
they have
in Myrtle Beach, for
culture, example,
Myrtle Beach or Fort Myers Beach, it's just like one building after the other is like these free time activity places where it's like mini golf. Or like arcades or these crazy themed big restaurants or bars.
Tourist shops.
So, yeah, and it's kind of just a very artificial mm-hmm. place for me to vacation at. It's still nice, of course, and you can have a great time if you know what you're getting into. And, of course, the landscape is amazing. Beach is amazing and beautiful and everything. But there really isn't that much other stuff there than, yeah. like, just the vacation. So, like, it's more people go there and then they spend their free time at the beach and at all these, like, institutions that were created just for them.
Yeah, like, I feel like for my family, it was very common to get to the beach. You have, like, your beach day or your pool day, and then in the evenings you go out to dinner and then maybe go for mini golf or go out to dinner yeah. and go see a movie. Or, like, it's just more of spending time together at a different place that has the beach and water.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, for me, I in a lot of occasions felt like, oh, this is just like in Cincinnati, though, except for you have the beach. That's great. But, like, for example, summer vacation isn't when you go to see a movie, like, inside in a yeah. cold cinema. Like, that's, to me, that's like an odd concept mm-hmm. that I had to wrap my head around first. But I understand, like, of course, from the American point of view, that's what you do because it's close enough. And I mean, it's not even that close. Like, if you drive for 15 hours south in German, from Germany, from Munich, you're in southern Italy.
Yeah.
Like,
completely different.
This is still a lot of commitment and time and money that people put into this. And then they're still in the same country where everything is pretty much still the same. So, like, I understand that you can't always spend all this huge amount of money to leave the country and you mm-hmm. don't want to. You don't have a motivation to do so. But, yeah, vacationing, I think, is just a little bit different, like summer vacation at least.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the... You don't really hear of many people in the U.S. going to the north for vacation. Some people go to Michigan.
I was going to say, yeah. Michigan, yeah.
Which is also more humid than Cincinnati.
And it's colder.
Yeah, but it's also... Right, isn't it? It's pretty... I mean, technically, I guess it might be a little colder, but it's also very humid. I used to... In my church group, we used to go to Michigan, actually, for in the summers, now that I'm saying it. For like various camps and it was still very hot and very humid there.
Which, yeah, summer camps are a big thing for kids growing up in the U.S. So like I said that earlier, schools usually have a 3-month summer break in the U.S., right? So you don't really have a whole lot of breaks throughout the school year, not as much as we do in Germany, at least. What do you usually have, like a Christmas break?
Yeah, you have a Christmas break where you maybe get like a week or maybe two off. And then
spring break, right?
Yeah, and then spring break, which is just 1 week. Yeah, I'm trying to think of, and then a couple holidays here and there.
Yeah, but that's I think about it. But then you have this huge break over the summer, which usually starts like early May, mid-May, something like that, right? And then I think every school gets to decide that, or every school district
in
the U.S. gets to set their
I think it's normally
times.
From like the end of May to towards the end of August, like mid-August, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
and
it's a very long
universities.
It's a very long summer break, and it's very common to get a summer job. Like that's also something that's very, very typical.
Yeah, that's something that I just knew from like all these TV shows growing up.
My summer job,
teenagers.
I was a tennis instructor at a summer camp.
That's so stereotypical.
Yeah.
and people go to camp. Like, what's up with that?
Yeah, I mean, I mostly grew up going to like more religious camps. But I mean, you still do all of the same activities, like various outdoor activities, going hunting. No, what am I saying? We did not go
hunting.
We did not go hunting. My brain is not working anymore, Feli. Doing a lot of stuff outside, spending time in nature. But yeah, I think a lot of people go to camp or parents send their kids to camp just to have some time to themselves. Because like you said, a 3-month break is a pretty long time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's also nice for the kids just to have a little bit of a change. But yeah, there are overnight camps that kids go to. There are also like day camps that people can go to or kids can go to as well. And it's a very big thing. But I only kind of went to my church camps growing up. So I wasn't like really huge into the quote unquote camp culture. But like the YMCA, for example, has lots of camps throughout the country.
And then what do you do there? Like you just said a little bit like outdoor stuff, but like bonfires,
yeah,
horror
bonfires,
stories. Is that
exactly.
kind of what I should
That's
picture?
I think so. Okay. I'm trying to think because I never went to like a YMCA camp. Like in Cincinnati, there's one like called Camp Kern. I never went there.
Okay.
So I can't really say exactly what people do the whole time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot of that. Just like being a kid. For me, it's so normal that I don't even know how to describe it.
How long would you go for?
I think normally it's a week.
Okay.
I think.
Because I've also heard of people going to camp for like long periods of time, like 4 weeks or something like that.
And that might be a thing too. It's just not something that I did growing up, and none of the people that I was like close friends with growing up did that either.
Yeah.
So I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah. So to get back to German summer, camps are also a thing, like at Zeltlager. So it's not like that doesn't exist in Germany, but I think it's just not as common. Not everyone does it growing up. It's not like this mandatory thing that almost every kid has done before. A lot of churches also do it in Germany, or like I, for example, would go on horse riding vacation. So like I would go to like a farm basically where 2 years I would camp there. So it was like a Reiterferien mit Zeltlager. So like it was a farm where they had like a camp as well. So that was stuff that I would do. And I know a lot of other kids also did stuff like that, whether it was with their church or like their hobby, like some kind of soccer camp, for example. That's what my brother used to do, like 1 week of soccer camp. So those things exist. But I think the American concept of going to a camp is just like a little bit different. I think it's just a little bit more established here. Mm-hmm. But it makes sense because, as you said, you kind of need to keep your kids entertained somehow over that long period of time. So, yeah, for me, speaking about my childhood growing up in Munich.
Yeah, I was going to say, talk about vacationing in Munich and in Germany.
Yeah. So I think for me, when I think of summer in Germany, it's like just a lot of traveling. Like as soon as summer vacation starts, your friends are all going to be gone. Like you're not going to see your friends a whole lot. You're going to have to coordinate like who's gone when. And like August is not a good time to make plans. Like, for example, if your birthday is in August and you want to plan like a party, most of your friends are not going to be there because Germans travel a lot. And we've said this before. And I think it has to do also a little bit with obviously distance, but also just this German mindset of wanting to go somewhere and enjoy the outdoors and get out, like see something different. It's a privileged thing to do, of course, to be able to travel and go on summer vacation. But I think a lot of Germans set their priorities like that too. Like even if you don't have the highest paying job, a lot of Germans save up for this specifically. They don't spend money on a lot of other materialistic things because they want to be able to go on that vacation and that trip and travel.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, for Germans, it's just such a normal thing in the summer to travel. And for my family, we would go on usually about three vacations a year. One would be in the winter for skiing. So like that doesn't count towards summer. But then in a lot of years, we would go on two summer vacations. One would be for Pfingstferien, which we have in Bavaria, which are Pentecost break, which is usually in like late May or June or something like that. It depends because it's connected to Easter. So the time of the year varies. But yeah, we would go for Pfingsten and then we would go during actual summer break again. So that's obviously a privileged thing. And we would usually travel to a different country. Like there were only very few exceptions where we stayed in Germany, even though there's great places in Germany to travel to. But most Germans just want to have that southern beach life that you can't get like that in Germany. We have beaches, of course, in northern Germany, but, you know, it's not as warm and southern there. It's like German beaches are more like they have a different vibe to them than what most Germans want. They want to go to Italy or Spain or southern France or Croatia or Greece or Portugal or somewhere in southern Europe and or also outside of Europe in a lot of cases and lay by a beach. And like the most typical German summer vacation is at an all-inclusive club or a resort, which is like these packages that a lot of German tourists buy where like I think back in the day, even the flight was included. I don't know if that's still the case. I haven't booked any of that myself as an adult. Like, that's not really what I'm into right now.
Yeah.
But especially for families, it's nice. You, like, get this all-inclusive thing. You go on your flight. It goes to a resort somewhere where it's warm. You have a beach. You have a pool. You have German-speaking staff and a kids club or, like, a daycare for your kid. And you have windsurfing and water skiing and Pilates or other like sports activities, like sports classes that you can sign up for. There's tennis courts. Like you can just do all the things. Then you have your all-inclusive buffet, like breakfast, lunch, dinner. You have your show that the staff sets up at night where it's like a musical show or some kind of entertaining show. You have your kiddie disco where the kids after dinner like get in a circle and do their dances. And that's just like an experience that I've had before. We did that especially with kids because like it's nice for parents. You can you can bring your children. They go to the daycare. They have activities with the daycare. They make friends there. And then you, my mom, would go to all of her sports classes. Like she would like to do the aerobics or like water gymnastics and Pilates and whatever, stay active.
It's so German, I feel like.
Yeah, and we would just be with our friends all day. And then, I mean, obviously you like live on the resort, so you can go back to your room anytime. So that's a very German experience. Of course, the older we got, the less we would do that. And we would go more to places where we would also do sightseeing and leave the resort, which like a lot of Germans do this thing where they don't leave and they don't want to interact with the actual culture where they are, and they like that everything's German speaking where they are. But yeah, the older we got, the more my parents were able to also do stuff where they could bring us along to like do sightseeing and like just actually live in an actual town.
Yeah, go to don't go for the resort, you go for the destination itself.
Like. Yeah, so we would just stay at more like an Airbnb type of thing where it's like rented out by a local, or just a hotel where you only get your breakfast, but then you spend the day driving around the island or wherever you are. So that's my summer experiences growing up. And I know I'm very privileged for that. Compared to other Germans, it was fairly normal to do that. And, you know, we would go to Italy a whole lot, Spain, Greece, Croatia. Yes, France, but those were like the main things. I think a lot of, especially Munich people, a lot of Munich people go to Italy because it's very close. Like Venice is like a 6-hour drive from Munich. So for American standards, that's crazy because in 6 hours from here, you're like in Nashville, Tennessee or Chicago where everything is still the same. whereas in 6 hours from Munich, you're in Venice, which is just completely different. But yeah, for me, it always meant hearing another language most of the times. Like, as I know, these resorts are definitely often like a little enclave. But after that, we would be somewhere where you're actually surrounded with the language. And you're at an Italian beach and then you go get some ice cream as a little kid and you have to somehow communicate in German, Italian, English what you want. And then you pay with this like foreign, well, at least before the euro, you pay with your foreign currency.
Ah, that's funny. Which, okay, yeah.
I remember as a kid.
Yeah, you remember that.
The Italian lira was like completely inflated. And so you would get like a million lira bill.
That's
what? I have a million something. and you felt so rich as a kid. But I think that's also the experience that a lot of other Germans have. So sometimes we would drive and sometimes we would fly. But yeah,
that's
I mean, my vacations.
Yes. It's so interesting like to think how obviously like we're good friends now and we understand each other's cultures. But like when it comes to like childhood memories of like vacations and stuff, it's so different, you know?
Yeah.
That, I mean, as adults, we can like be on the same level and understand each other as adults and living in this crazy life that we have between both countries. But like we come from pretty different experiences having grown up. And it's just weird to think about.
For sure. I was actually going to ask you, how many of your friends or people in your environment actually did travel for summer? Because I know that
that's what I was
going to
say.
Is a big difference. That,
I was going to say, I feel like we've talked about this topic pretty extensively. So I think we're getting close to the end of the episode. But I did want to mention, because you were talking about all of the vacations, like you guys would go 3 times a year someplace. That's very uncommon in the US. I mean, because people don't have the vacation days for it. So, I mean, in my family, when it came to like real vacation, like going to Florida, that was for me, that was real vacation, or going to South Carolina. We did that maybe every other year. We didn't even do it every year. And I know there are quite a few people, because you have to be able to afford the place where you're staying too. It's not a cheap thing, especially if you have a family. So like we could only go because my grandparents had a timeshare that we could stay at. So I know I think in my environment, it was pretty common for people to go on vacation once a year, for the most part, I would say on average. But I know there are quite a few, there's a large portion of the population that doesn't travel that far just because they can't afford it and don't have the time off for it.
So would you, how long would you stay in Florida? Would
normally a week.
Just be a week?
Normally okay, just like, go for 1 week.
As you said, most people don't have a lot of paid time off. So I know we've mentioned this in several other episodes before, but a lot of Germans have around like 26 to 30 vacation days a year, which is a lot for American standards, which is like normal to us in Germany.
Yeah.
Whereas in the US, I know that many people only have 10 days of vacation days. I don't know if you can say that that's like a standard, because I know every job handles it differently.
Exactly. I mean, just maybe to give some context, I think for most people when they start a full-time job, 10 days is kind of like the standard, if you will. And then you can get more days with seniority. So like the longer you're at the company, you can get an extra day here or an extra day there. I was super lucky with my employer in the US straight out of college that I had, I think it was 18 days and it's PTO. So that means also they were my sick days. So if I was sick, I had to use one of those days as well.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't
just-
Which
is also not a concept that, exactly. that exists in Germany. But we did talk about that in the episode with Niklas, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I think so as well.
So yeah, Americans usually have to use those days also when they are sick. Like that doesn't go on top of vacation days like it does in Germany. There is no limit for how often you can be sick in Germany usually.
Yeah. So like it's very, the two kind of systems in the US is either you have PTO, which is paid time off, or you have vacation days and sick days. So you have a certain amount of vacation days that are set for vacation, and then you have sick days, which are the days in the year that you're quote unquote allowed to be sick.
Yeah.
Which isn't a thing here at all. So I always think it's funny when my German coworkers talk about, it's been in PTO, because like that's, since I work at an American company, that's the what people talk about. And I'm like, yes, but if you knew what PTO truly was, you wouldn't be saying that. But yeah.
But they say it when they're on vacation.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I just wanted to see how common that even is, but. For us, I mean, at least main summer vacation during actual summer break, Sommerferien, was usually 2 weeks. And during Pfingstferien, sometimes 10 days or a week, because Pfingstferien are only 2 weeks long. But I think there's also been years where we were gone the entire 2 weeks, pretty much. And therefore, it's also a huge thing. And I think I've mentioned this in another episode. So there's like a thing called like vacation traffic, where that's actually one of the reasons that summer break starts at a different time in each German state, is that they don't want everyone to go on the streets and go on vacation at the same time or go to the airports at the exact same time. But every weekend throughout like August, you just know, okay, this is when Bavaria starts vacation. That's when like summer vacation stops in Nordrhein-Westfalen. So like on those weekends, you have to expect higher traffic. And you just like on the Autobahn, you just see, okay, this is, they're all coming north from the south. Like this is going home traffic. This is like Heimatverkehr. So that's like a whole thing because Germans travel so much.
That's crazy. Yeah, now that you're talking about that. Yeah, that makes sense.
And like if you listen to German radio or like the traffic news, you'll hear that a lot like in the next few weeks or even right now, because I think some Bundesländer, some German states are already off summer break or they're about to be off summer break.
Yeah, I think NIV is currently, but yeah, no, that's so interesting.
So yeah, that's a thing. But that's really the last thing that I think is worth mentioning.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else to add at this point besides the fact that that's what I was going to say. I oftentimes, because like I said, I'm only going home to the US for, I think, 10 days this time. And Germans always freak out when I tell them that. They're like, you're only for 10 days? And now I understand a little bit more why people might freak out about that, because you're used to going places for 2 weeks. But I mean, growing up...
Or longer.
And growing up, that just wasn't a thing. So
yeah,
it doesn't... I mean, of course, I could stay longer, but like that's 10 days going to... a different place for 10 days does not seem like a short amount of time to me per se.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to add that.
I think especially when it's longer distances. So like for us, obviously going on vacation to Southern Europe, that's for American standards, a super short distance. Like we go on like a 2-hour flight or like a maybe up to a 12-hour drive, but that's a long drive. Like, yeah. That's like the longest drive that we've taken to go on vacation, I'm pretty sure, mm-hmm. Which in the U.S. is like super common, as you said, like going to Florida, a lot of people do it way longer.
Yeah.
But once you fly like across the ocean, transatlantic, or like go to Asia or something like that, I think a lot of people think that it's not even worth it, quote mm-hmm. unquote, to go for just a few days or like a little bit over a week. Like if you do that, go on that big trip, mm-hmm. then you have to stay longer. And that's what we did. So like my family and I, we took two bigger vacations throughout North America. And like the first one, I was here for 4.5 weeks, I think.
It's
so
crazy.
I actually came here a week before they did because mm-hmm. I visited my former exchange partner here in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So like I flew into Cincinnati. I was 17 at the time. Visited her for a week, stayed with her family for a week. And then I flew to New York, and that's where I met the rest of my family. And then we all traveled the U.S. for 3.5 weeks. And then the next time we did it, I think it was also 3.5 weeks or something like that, or 4 weeks even. So, yeah, that, I think that's where that comes from, where it's like you're going such a long distance. Yeah. It has to be worth it.
And that's funny because there are two reasons, you know, because of the distance and then also the amount of time. And in the U.S., we're used to longer distances just in general, and we're used to having less time. So it's the exact opposite.
The very last thing that comes to my mind in that regard that we haven't mentioned in this episode is that it's crazy because, as you said, not a lot of people travel long distances to go on vacation and especially don't leave the country. There are so many Americans that don't even own a passport. Not only have they never left the country, they don't even technically can because they don't have a passport, which when I first heard about that, I was like, I didn't know about that when I lived in Germany. That was not something I was aware that many Americans have never left the country before. I was kind of shocked by how many it actually was, like how many people I actually met that had never met that I left the country. But then they would say things like, I don't have a passport. I didn't even know that having a passport was not mandatory. Like for me, because I've had a passport my whole life. As a baby, I've had a passport. I didn't know that you didn't need to have a passport as a human, as a citizen.
No. I think I got my first passport when I was 16, I think, and went to Peru. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not a common thing per se to have a passport in the U.S.
I know. And I mean, I know that now, like Ben, for example, my boyfriend, he got his passport last year when he first left the country to go to Germany with me. And, you know, that was just a big shock for me, I guess, in mm-hmm. a way. But again, I'm very aware about how privileged I am.
Yeah.
So the fact that I, you know, have always been traveling, even as a baby, that is a very privileged experience. And there is a siren right now.
Can you hear it?
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Here's your American throwback. Yeah. All right. I think we've literally covered everything. Probably not everything, but everything that was on my mind. So if you guys have anything to add about your experiences, whether you disagree with us or not, maybe you're from a completely different area of Germany or the U.S. I know even in Germany, of course, if you're from more like northern Germany, there are other vacation destinations that are more popular because they're closer. So share your experiences and opinions about this topic in the YouTube comments if you're on YouTube, and if you're listening on the audio streaming platforms right now, just head over to YouTube and leave that comment. I love reading your guys' comments, and I really appreciate this community, honestly, because like no matter which topic we talk about, everyone's always super understanding. And even if we get things wrong, which happens all the time, because most of the stuff we talk about, we don't really prepare properly. We just have like a few notes about personal experiences, but we don't look up statistics or anything like that. So we do get things wrong, of course. So I really appreciate how everyone's always super respectful when correcting us. But yeah, share your experiences. And of course, you can also support us. One thing that we haven't mentioned in a while is that we actually have merchandise. I'm going to, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to show some pictures here. Yeah, isn't that a nice mug, Josh? No, just kidding. We have a coffee mug, for example, that says, I only understand TrainStation. I really need a coffee. We have a t-shirt. There's different products that you can buy, stickers with Understanding TrainStation merch. So that obviously supports us. And you also get something for it. You can buy that on feelyfromgermany.com. And then there's an Understanding TrainStation tab. I'll just put the link in the description. And of course, you can support us by becoming a patron or a Patreon supporter on patreon.com/understandingtrainstation. And as you know, participate in our monthly hangouts, which we did a week ago.
Yes.
Last Sunday in July. That was the last time we did it.
Yep.
It's always really nice to just get on a video call with you guys and talk about the last episodes. We usually don't even get to talk about everything in that 1 hour, but like we just talk about the topics that were brought up in the last episodes and think, yeah, people get to share their experiences and ask questions and stuff like that. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
And if you want to just leave a little tip for us, we actually have a new, I haven't even told you this yet, Josh.
Yes.
But I made us a new, or did I tell you that?
I don't think so.
No.
So I'm excited. What do we have now?
Tipping platform, because Buy Me a Coffee stopped supporting PayPal a while ago. And like that was really frustrating to a lot of people because now you could only send us money with a credit card and not every German has a credit card.
Yeah.
So if you would like to buy us a coffee still, you can now do so on Ko-fi. So it's ko-fi.com/understandingtrainstation. And it's pretty much the same as Buy Me a Coffee, except that they do support PayPal also. So that's our new link. I'm going to put that in the info box, of course, for you guys to click on. And if you want to support us, we really appreciate it. Because as you can tell, we talk a lot. and that means that recording takes a long time and editing takes an even longer time. Exporting these huge videos takes a long time. Uploading them takes a long time. Mm-hmm. And YouTube has made it even longer. I don't know what they changed.
Yeah, I know you've had some issues with that recently.
Yeah, like YouTube for like uploading a 1.5 hour long video now, they take hours. Like the uploading, I think, still takes the same time, but then they do like checking where they check for copyright infringements and stuff like that. And that takes hours now. And then there's processing where it processes the HD version of the video. So the whole thing just takes like all day pretty much.
It's a very long process.
It's a very time intense thing. So I just wanted to say that in case you're not aware of how much time and passion we put into this podcast. Of course, we don't expect for you guys to pay us anything. We'll keep doing it either way.
Yeah.
But we're definitely grateful for the support from you guys. So yeah.
Ditto. After all of that, ditto. We are looking forward to talking to you guys in 2 weeks. And I think it'll be some fun conversations that we have coming up since we'll get to see each other in person. And we'll be doing a lot of traveling here coming up soon. So we'll have lots of stories to tell, hopefully. So we will see you guys in 2 weeks. And until then, servus.
Tschüss.